I wanted to take you a couple reasons down here is one, just kind of the main street, because Monroe went through their kind of major sidewalk thing and trying to pep things up. Duval did that probably, was it 10 years ago now?
Yeah, it was about 2008.
Yeah. And then during that time, they took this area up here and started rezoning it for more commercial uses. And so this building right here, at one time, it was a church. They had a school inside. They built that from scratch, and then some things went south with the church, and so the school district bought it. And so that's the Riverview School District building right there.
The whole building?
Yeah. Yes. They use it for training, education, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then obviously the fire department located down here. That area up there, the blue building, used to be a church, and then it went into a kind of a community center for a while, and the YMCA was running it, and then it's now a daycare.
Yeah, owned by the city.
Owned by a city-owned building.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they lease it to the daycare?
Yeah.
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 Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I think this
So you can see where this is, and then used to be the church right there, and then the next building down.
Did you see these?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that used to be a
building. I remember it.
I love it.
It's a lot different. Yeah.
So it's taken quite a bit of time, but I wanted to show you like what Duval was, like the original kind of Duval before we go up the hill.
You're going to have to start saying Duval, or people are going to know that you know.
Yeah, you don't really
we
say it,
say
right?
It's,
yeah. How do we say it?
Duval.
It's Duval.
Duval.
And how does Duval. Ben say?
He says Duval.
Like yeah. Robert Duval. Duval.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
Duval.
I really have an issue. People can't say that.
Right. Me too.
Thank you.
Well, there we go. There's the, you pet pee.
Yes. Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to turn on some of these songs. And my first one and my favorite town still is Enumclaw. I love that name.
That's where my brother lives, Enumclaw.
Lives
outside of town.
So you can see with the old town, you don't have the curb gutter sidewalk here. It wasn't that long ago that they just, I think they still have one gravel road, right?
Yes. Not that long ago, there were many gravel roads.
And so still a fairly young town. They just got hit with that surge of the Microsoft surge. And so that's why I want to take you up. So we're going to go to Howard Hill, and then we're going to go up to look at the Pulte development. But when we go up on the hill by the high school, that's what kind of kicked off. And every community or every nation or whatever always has these major kind of milestones that cause these big changes to them. And so when Duval was this area down here, everybody said it was basically loggers and hippies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all okay. It was.
Chow
and then
town.
The Microsoft community found it. They call it, some people call it the plateau up there.
Oh, sure.
And started building. And some of these homes we see,
it's an
R3 zone, essentially. Yeah. It's 3 units per acre. Yeah, these are probably less than that. They're big houses. And so that kind of set a tone for it. And then that's when you started seeing kind of design guidelines come into it. And again, as you can tell by the pictures, it also caused some good stuff to come out of it. People that take interest in their community and want it to look nice and got that support for the bonds in order to, rebuild that Main Street area.
It's good and bad.
You know, a lot of the people, because it's funny, you always have that NIMBY mentality,
like,
and it usually takes about 10 years for an area to get that NIMBY. And so you had this core group, and
then
that built out, and then so on and so forth, kind of succession, and each one doesn't want the next one to build out. And so Duval is currently experiencing a pretty good backlash on new development. And so they're kind of at the point, or I don't want to say all of them, there's a group, a big enough group, at a point where they don't want Duval to develop anymore. And I guarantee Monroe will go through this. And you hear a little bit of this, but every community does when you see these big building surges hit. Because if you graph it out over time, it's small increments, but we go through recessions, we go through down periods where there's no building, and all of a sudden we make up for it in these big building booms and up and down. It's not this gradual slope up. So Monroe, you're starting to see a little bit of that. In Duval, you're definitely seeing a lot of it, to the point where it's politically impacting.
Yeah.
And so, we'll see how that plays out. I don't technically live in Duval, I live out in the county. But
what do you mean it's politically impacting?
So that's the big issue
now. You can get not elected if you,
yeah,
if you don't toe the no development line.
Exactly. So you have two people running for mayor, one pro, one anti. Two people running for council, one pro, one anti.
Yeah.
And so that's the dividing line. It's not the, you know, Republican.
But the anti-growth politicians, once they get in and understand that you need to plan for growth, then what do they do?
So that's when you find out how much they're willing to listen, or if they had their mind pre-made up. Because, you know, I mean, it's just like when we had, I remember when I was here last time, we had a council member, and he ran on the platform about what he was going to do with Highway 2. And not understanding that it was federal.
Yeah, no one can say that.
It, we don't control it. But nobody bad an eye. Everybody thought it was great. You know, I mean, he was going to clear up traffic and do it, you know, that kind of way. Well, when he got in, there was some education that took place, and he probably came about halfway with it and got some understanding on it. But you can have them, for example, Woodinville. They had a major turn where they basically said, we're not going to grow anymore. And Puget Sound Regional Council and the county, the state, everybody can go to hell because we're done. And so that kind of move, that means now you don't have any funding.
Yeah.
You've cut all your ties to any type of federal transportation dollars.
Yep.
And so, and what happens is typically when you get a strong-headed in, you hit these death spirals. And then, unfortunately, when a good group comes in and understands all this damage that's been done, it takes them typically about twice as long as it to do all that damage.
Yeah.
And so, so Woodinville's going to be an interesting one, because they actually, where the wineries are and everything, they had a comp plan designation of an R2 to 3, I believe, out there, units per acre. A builder came in, wanted to take it from a zone from an R2 up to an R3. They came back and denied it, but really didn't deny it with anything. They just said, we don't want anything to grow out there. We want to keep it a low zone. And it went through the court system. I think it went to state Supreme Court, maybe just appeals, but I think state Supreme Court. And the way Woodinville justified it is that it says all those units were losing out there by not allowing this to go denser than an R2. We're going to make up for in our core area.
Yeah.
And so they developed a whole core to that. But that's where things went south, is now you have, 15 years later, you have this new council, and now they're developing their core out, and this new council is like, we can't handle any more growth down here. We're done with growth. Well, that was their fallback for not allowing growth out there. I mean, once you develop that master plan, you kind of got to, especially when you stand in front of a judge. So that's where things went south. They may have turned around on it, but it's hard, especially with new. I mean, you've seen the complexities, just land use, and now take it across the board in government. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do for someone just coming in off the street.
Yeah.
So, did you want to walk down to Main Street? Has everybody seen that enough? And we just want to go up and check out Howard Hill.
Yeah.
Go up the hill.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen much up the hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
You walk.
No, it's a single house.
I love that little open balcony.
Yeah. They just need an outdoor
fireplace.
But
that's not considered three stories? Or is it?
Yeah.
That's three.
And their code is three on the downhill, two on the uphill.
Yeah.
I mean, their code is written a different way.
It doesn't matter which side the front door is on.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you would.
They're really nice, actually. Yeah. It's about the only thing I liked up there. When I was looking
through.
Find
something like
that. So there's no old trees here, are there?
That's the problem.
Or is it all back
there? That's the problem with this.
This all was. No, this, so no it, there wasn't. This lot was all like alders and cottonwoods. It didn't have any saveable trees.
Yeah,
no.
They had two single family or one single family.
I think it was
there.
One. It just.
That he sold it off. And so there wasn't much. There were some up front there. There were some more mature trees up front there.
No.
But they were right in where they put the sidewalk in. And so they popped them out anyway. But Duval does have a tree replacement. If you take down a tree greater than 16 or 18 inches caliper.
At breast height, so this level, yeah.
Is it 16 or 18? Anyway.
It's been a while.
If you take one down, you have to replant three at a minimum of 2-inch caliper.
Yeah.
And so we'll see this project. I actually worked on this project on the hill a while ago. Amy actually worked on it. It's been going on forever. And where they had to do a massive tree replacement, and it was a fully forested area. I mean, big, big trees down there. But also, it's on its third appeal right now, too, so it caught the attention of the neighbors. But in here, street tree standard is minimum 2-inch caliper, and that's one thing we really, really need to do I don't care how it goes, we just need to define our landscape standards. They're horrible. Right now, staff references this policy document that was done in like the 1980s.
It's been copied and then copied and then copied.
So you can't really read
it.
What comes on the agenda. What do you need to make a list of all this stuff?
Yeah, and we would
council and say
we will.
This has to be addressed.
And it's going to be addressed as far as our major code update. Yeah, so you'll see it, and that's why.
But how much longer is that going to be?
You know, I keep hearing about major code update. Uh-huh. I want the major code update.
I do too. Go for it. Amazon, bring it.
I don't want to just. Yeah.
Yeah. So we signed our consultant, and that's what we started off with. Shanna going over the comp plan, and talking about it. In preparation for us. So what we're going to start doing is we're going to start bringing you chapters of code.
Bring it.
Another thing that they have is so that the along roads, so that the fences aren't backed right up against the road, they have a 10-foot landscape buffer in between the back of the sidewalk and the fence.
Because
they don't want to create that basically a walled corridor.
Well, it's basically an invitation to tag.
Yeah.
So you're saying this is the 10-foot area.
You just know kids.
And then a tree.
You know teenagers' behavior.
I live in Monroe.
Apparently in a rough neighborhood.
I'm just really impressed with your ability to understand what teenage mind is.
Yeah. She was just there yesterday.
I'm 43. I'm 44.
We're just good kids.
Oh, no, I worked in the school, though.
Oh, there you go.
Let's be that house.
Okay,
and I have 22 on my staff that are 700,000.
She hires kids that are just out of the rattle can stage.
Yeah, exactly.
I got him Jenny Youth Center.
I don't know what this one is because I'm not.
This one's been sold.
What is that? 980. I'm looking at 98019. So 760,000. 3,400 square feet.
It's a
mystery.
And it was like
a square foot of chair.
Lot size. See if they can give me lot size.
Oh, I have lot size.
Do you have lot size?
I should have lot size. So
that one over there, just so you guys know, it's going for 760 grand.
Okay,
hold on a second.
Oh, look at the
city. No.
Oh my gosh.
How big is this lot?
This.
They're not. They're not done.
This lot says is 7,274.
Okay. 200 square
foot
lot.
When you buy a brand new house, there's so many things you're looking at. You might not even notice.
Good size lot.
Yep.
Look at those shutters aren't even painted.
It's like it has a 5-foot setback on this side, but then a larger because it's adjacent to the right of way on this side.
I would never pay that for
So in Duval, they do have that flat backyard standard like we talked about. It's a minimum. I can't remember, is it dimension or square footage?
It's square footage, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, but there's a minimum dimension in
there. Yeah, I think it's 200 no less than 10 or 15
it's combined.
Is any way you could stretch it. And so they... to avoid having just a path, and that's our open space.
So is that a 5% grade? Is that...
Yeah, and then the 5% grade.
Yeah, so a developer will find, they get creative, so unless it's very spelled out.
So that would be
out.
A creative okay, backyard
that
right there?
Out. That looks better. Yes.
Actually, that doesn't look bad.
No.
I actually like it.
It's still pretty steep if you were having to mow it.
I would worry about...
You could put a kiddie pool on it.
I'd worry about the drainage going into my house.
I wouldn't want it off there in the retaining wall.
Yeah.
I mean, because everything's going to go right there where your driveway is.
Yeah. So if you look in their right? backyard, they have a flat area. I think it's 250 square feet.
That's
with
a new measurement.
It's a British unit.
What?
It's
like 10 or 15.
15.
Yeah, 15.
And you'll see in the back. And so what they do on their site plan is they designate where that is. And I believe it's under the code, you can either have it in your back or side yard. So if they want to put a bigger side yard in. And so they just draw out their 250. And so when we review it on the site plan, we say, okay, this is it. Everything else can have a slope around that or you know, similar to this, where it's not that 5%. And that's what staff reviews for. And then when they go out in the field at the end, they verify it.
And they're less of the same. Like when we were in Eaglemont,
everything
looked the same.
Yeah. And here I believe
I
it's
early
yet.
I believe you have to have 4 elevations per plat. You can't have or 4 completely different home styles
in a block. Well, isn't there something to do with a block?
And
no more than 2 in a block or
and then
something.
2 can't be side by side with each other. So it requires they kind of stair stepped up. They had a kind of a mid range, and now they have some pretty tight design guidelines. And this community. has always been really hard on design guidelines. They actually went into moratorium because a duplex was built that they didn't like, and so they went full building moratorium until they could get the design guidelines back up.
Well, yeah, each bedroom has to have a window.
But that was but that's always up to the electeds and appointeds too.
Interesting.
So is this a vault? Did you work on this park? This is.
I did, but I don't remember.
So I'm wondering if there's a vault on the park because it's just that's the only tract I see.
Yeah. Well, it's up at the low point too.
Oh, there's also track G. Out there. Yeah.
A and 12.
That's affordable housing.
Doesn't look like it. There's another tract out at the corner.
This is it.
It is? Okay.
So this is, as opposed to up at the main view and looking at the pond, this is the whole view. They're actually behind me. And so you can see this area and you can see the like
Yeah, and then that big open grate over there.
Yep.
So that's the access into the vault. So all this stuff is essentially built on top of the vault. And then so you have vehicle access to drive down and actually get back there because they bring in vaults use filter systems and then settlement. So you have to, the downside of the vault is the maintenance of replacing those filters is very costly. And then you have to bring in a Vactor truck, which is a big vacuum cleaner essentially, that you stick down the vault and suck up all the heavy particulates that settled down in there before it flowed out.
So it's like a stormwater septic tank.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You're using the space.
So I imagine the homeowners association for this thing's going to be steep on the fees just to maintain such a thing.
For the vault?
For the vault.
Well, in Duval, the city takes responsibility for all residential stormwater.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And most cities do that.
Do they do the thing where they divide it too? Between gray and something? They do.
Oh, between gray water and
yeah,
and
they do the runoff where they do the division.
Everything.
Thing.
Well, that's one thing is that's a challenge is getting people to separate their truly dirty stormwater from clean stormwater.
Right.
Because under the pollution manual, your roof, your sidewalks, that's not dirty. Mm-hmm. And so they want to separate it out. And all that has to do is be retained for flow rate value.
Mm-hmm.
Where the street, when that comes out, streets and driveways, when it comes out, it has to be retained to let those heavy particulates settle and then release. And so that is a huge education thing, and you'd be surprised how many engineers that submit civils won't even think about it as far as separating it. And it can be as literally as tilting your sidewalks into your planter strip and putting a good type of soil in there that will take in that moisture and that runoff, and then you've just reduced the size of your vault because you're no longer accounting for that stormwater. And so that's a savings to the builder, but you have a lot of old school people that are used to doing it this way, and this is the way they'll do it. And so it's a huge educational piece, along with Department of Ecology adopting the new stormwater standards that require low impact development, which is a blessing and a curse. But for the good part is it's making people think more of the infiltration, especially with planter strips, because they're a perfect opportunity to
put it
in there and let it go. Yeah, because they have, when they come in and they spec that vault, they submit all their sheets and all their calcs to the city. City goes back and proofs it. And typically for stormwater vaults, you have a specialist you'll send it out to. But they have to account for all their impervious surface that's going on throughout the area in order to size for that vault.
So is this medium density or
no? This is medium.
This is our...
What is our zoning here?
This is either 4 or 6. I don't think it's low density.
Okay.
I thought it was. It doesn't seem low.
No, this is not low density.
Yeah.
Well, no. It actually. Because, I mean, it's not squished in like where at Edgemont.
Yeah, but it's pretty small lot.
I mean, but this house and that house are close together. But this
decipher in there.
Yeah, because they didn't.
What's each lot? Well, like 7,400.
So adjacent over here is R4.
They set aside some of their property.
Okay.
So.
And then you'll get it more.
I don't. Those houses are R4. I don't know if there's a division between the two.
Some of these lots are goofy
bigger just because of that. So I think that the average.
Can we charge our phones over there?
Yeah.
Probably there's power.
Oh, is that the...
Those kids
Liz talked. Liz said she wanted to buy the greenhouse in Howard Hill. That must be it.
So maybe.
I think he wants to figure out why those windows are so tiny.
They're going floor. In.
I want to go in.
When they say available, they don't mean that available.
It's not breaking and entering. They didn't break
it says available.
459. You know what that is? Burglar. Breaking and entering.
They didn't have to break. 459.
Not taking pictures of that.
It is R4. So this is actually low density. But if you look at the plat, you'll see some of these lots are actually much larger. Like this one's 9,500. Wow. It's just the way the thing's shaped.
And then well, for R4 would be 10,000 and more. So the lots are actually small if they're under 10,000.
No, I'm just saying it's like, see where these ones get down to 5,000, but then all of a sudden you have some 9,500s in there that are kind of offsetting the average.
Oh, okay, got it. And is that normal?
Like so they just
feel the
they
R4 by having some
size.
Tight yes. houses mm-hmm. and then, okay.
Yeah, so they're still meeting the, because they have the combined 15-foot zone with an R on this one.
Okay.
So yeah, like you can see right there, their backyard's flat because they built mm-hmm. into the hillside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did we come up with what kind of R this is? R4.
But so this of is, other plats in Duval, this is a relatively flat. Compared to what they,
to many
of the other ones.
Stuff up here too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But see, they're taking advantage of the slope by dropping something down off the bottom, as opposed to.
And the elevator. Oh, elevator! I thought you meant to put in the right up and down.
A little round ball soccer. Round ball football.
It's for when they can't go up the stairs.
Get
it now.
You want, which street are we going to go in on for, isn't it this second
Do you want to show them, I mean, you wanted to do the 10% open space, which includes that park area. That's the first one, right?
Yeah, the Pulte development up on the hill.
Yeah, North Hill.
Yeah. They haven't even done anything up there yet, have they? They just cleared it, right?
There's pockets of undeveloped area, but some stuff isn't developed.
Oh, wow. That will all be ranch style. I'm going...
Yeah, I'll call you whatever you want to take it to.
A Rambler?
Yeah.
Okay, I have been up there since it's been built out, but we'll just see what we find.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's what we had, and now we have a T-shirt.
Mike, did you figure out why the windows are so tiny? Or the tiny people?
They went downstairs.
We went downstairs to look for downstairs.
That's big,
it's actually a big, very big house.
Yeah, those are probably bathrooms, and then this one above might be like a shower. That looks like a shower, that long.
But the layout's pretty nice inside.
It's got huge windows in the back.
I don't like that.
My brother and sister-in-law just bought a house in Bothell, and all the bedrooms and the windows are high and long. So, like... It's almost wraparound windows, but they don't have any wall space, but they get the light.
Yeah, but there's egress requirements for a building permit, right? And building code when it comes to bedrooms. That's weird.
Oh, so you can get out in a fire?
Yeah.
Well, it's not the only...
Oh, there's
multiple,
another one?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
I like that idea, though.
Yeah.
Because in my brother-in-law said...
It's actually probably very similar to that.
I don't need people looking in, and I don't really need to look out. I'm in here, I need to sleep.
Right, exactly.
True.
But they have a huge picture window over there, so...
Did we... We're going to look at the backyard of this home.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
They can show you, if we just walk up to the corner up here, show kind of that setback to the fence and then the backyards.
Look how the house looks pink and the
I wouldn't be happy with that. Is this for
yeah, temporary irrigation, or it could be permanent. But they're often it looks pretty temporary.
Why do they do temporary?
Until it's established.
Okay.
We have a big backyard.
Yeah, that's a nice flat backyard.
Yeah, so,
so that's what you get for utilizing the basement. Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. It's like how big my backyard is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's flat.
You know, a lot of people don't want a big yard.
I just wanted room for a pool.
Wow.
We have to close the windows.
They got a drain right there.
Yeah, I think, I guess because of the slope,
yeah. Well, you don't want it in your house. Probably. That's good though, because otherwise it turns into a swamp.
Better quality fence than up at Main View.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, they got the 10 feet setback for the fence on the main drag, but over here it's right up next to the sidewalk.
Yeah, but you got this, I guess.
Well, it's true. It is interesting though. Some of the turf's already dying.
No, probably why the spring boots. Well, it's the model home. They should be.
When they have those kids, watering you. You're gonna use the electricity. You can water the lawn.
This is what I used to do.
Kids turn the water on.
New
and
homes
then go home.
Mm-hmm. Back in Nebraska.
That's true. They put the sod in 3 weeks before the house is actually sold, and it was my job to keep every inch of that sod green. And I did blocks and blocks at times. And it was fun.
Yeah.
To look at the sun setting and all the sprinklers going in a whole block, that is amazing.
You didn't have hill problems there.
I had a great time. Even when it was 100 degrees out and the wind's blowing 35 miles an hour, I just learned how to set the sprinklers in these big areas all to one side because he'd blow over the whole addition.
Now, I'm seeing a problem with a 10-foot setback.
And that is the weeds?
Yeah, it's who's going to maintain it?
Well, the HOA is, there's a bond on, there's a landscape bond. They have, they're not doing much maintenance right now, but this stuff will mature and it will take on its own.
Okay, because obviously the homeowner's not going to maintain it. They're going to forget what's happening behind the fence.
But this is recorded and it has to, stay with, they have to maintain it.
Right.
As far as like the association or the homeowner.
Yep, and if not, they have to replant it. There's a plot up here. They added like a 20-foot wide one, and the HOA came in and was tired of maintaining it, so they just mowed it down. And
you want to head up the hill?
Yeah,
I can't do that.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So are they able to build houses
here? If
final
the
plot
construction
is.
Rules?
Yeah, so if the judge can issue a stop, essentially a stop order.
Okay. Wow, that would be terrible. If you
so why?
Down.
Stormwater down below.
It's county farmland down below, and water's running down.
That's what they're using as the reason. Mm-hmm. These people are using as the reason, right?
Actually, I think it's the people at the bottom that are filing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This illustrates the point of the R4 zoning.
We want construction rules in Monroe.
Define high level of safety.
A high level of safety.
What does that mean?
Better than a low level.
You see the elevations here?
Mm-hmm.
So
the tighter they are together.
Yeah,
it's
so
very steep.
Is it 5 foot, 2 foot?
So this is like crazy.
Yeah, so you'll see what kind of, you'll get some smaller lots, even in a low density zone, just by going to an R4 and purely basing it off units per acre. And so what a lot of people will see is they'll see sections like this and they'll say, wow, that's really tight for an R4, but this area is not developed. And so you have these chunks that aren't undeveloped that they're borrowing that density essentially and squeezing it down. Mm-hmm. And so you will get smaller lots in what you think is a lower density zone. They're still required to do the 15-foot side yard setbacks and minimum open space, which it gets tough, but what they're doing for topography on this, and I know this from working with the builder on it, is their daylight basin, they're putting daylight basements on all these guys. I'm like, nope, daylight basements on all these guys, and then and working with the topography down here. So they went into it knowing these issues they're gonna have to deal with, but like I said, this is so steep, there are areas where they couldn't get away with not putting walls up. So instead of allowing them to have one large giant wall, we require them to step back and put a 5 foot landscape buffer in to kind of minimize that impact of the wall.
That makes sense.
And so that's why you see these dual walls going along there. Mm-hmm.
Is this city of Duval? This, or is this outside of
city Duval? Of, yeah, this is was this annexed city? In. This lot, okay. Two lots actually, was annexed in just for development.
Okay. And so this is where you saw a massive, like, I guess, impact to trees. Because this was foliage and it looked like that right over there. Yeah. And so what they had to do, because you see where they basically jammed trees in every possible place they could.
They're redoing 2-to-1 or
3-to-1.
Well, and this as well.
And then so what we did is
actually count every tree they cut down.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they do on this one they did a flyover.
Okay. So you had so we had them go in at when they were getting ready to do their first phase for their clear and grade, is so they had an arborist go in and basically take a look at the trees and what were significant, what wasn't. And they had an arborist going anyway because they're looking at value of the trees because they're selling them.
Sure. Off. Yeah, in the preliminary plat, it was a flyover.
Yeah,
Is that common or?
For an arborist to go in on the property, for some jurisdictions, if you require it, yes, it is. For here, it is. You have an arborist every time.
For here, it is. But what about in jurisdictions? I mean, is the 3-to-1
Oh, the 3-to-1 replacement or the arborist?
Yeah, and all of that. Because they only have an arborist coming in because they got to count the trees.
I'll have to check out Snohomish County. I know in a lot of King County jurisdictions it is. Here it was, I don't know how they arrived at 3-to-1 here. I think a lot of it's just that's what the other jurisdiction is doing, you know. But I can check into that.
That sounds reasonable, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To be honest.
Now, these are compatible trees, right? That's something.